Would you please welcome one of my nearest and dearest friends, Papa P, Paul DeYoung.
Come on, why don't we give some honor to Jesus? Put your hands together, and whether you're online, you're here in the service. Just stay standing. One of the lessons I've learned pretty early on in life, but have had to come back to, is I think we're in a world that's looking for freedom. Everybody's crying out for freedom, and they think that freedom will be found when we get what we want. But I've discovered that freedom operates within boundaries. And if we don't go God's way, then we don't find freedom in any area of our lives. And I want to encourage you that God, if you position Him center in your world, again, whether you're online or you're here in the service, one of the campuses, God is able to turn anything around. I'm a living testimony of the impossible. Even confounding medical science, they just can't work it out. My top oncologist said, look, you've been through the worst journey I've seen any person go through in these 3 years, and I can't work it out. And I respond to that, but God. And then I realize that it is God, but it's also me. That's why I wrote the book, God, Money, and Me. Sometimes we're just trusting God to do all the work, and God says, yeah, but you're in the equation of my purpose. There's me, God, and there is a need to break through financially so that we can live the way God intended us to live and provide for the needs of the world, and particularly those that don't have faith. We can find an answer. So we're going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would just speak to us again, whether we're online here in the service, but that God would just drop a seed that can create a harvest that would change things. Anybody need a change today? I'm one of those, and I'm believing for continual change. Father, we just come and we honor you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you that your presence brings fullness of joy. And God, I just pray that you'll enable me with my limited human capacity to bring the truth of your word into light. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, turn to someone, give them a high five or a kiss on the cheek if you're friendly, looking for a wife or a husband. How you doing, Wave? What a joy. I don't know how many times I've been to Wave, but it's been a number of times. And I, meeting Governor this morning, it was kind of one of the times I was here at Wave. We met before, so I reckon that's cool. And an honor to be here in week two of really creating a financial freedom pathway. I think every one of us should ask continually questions. What pathway am I on? Have I found a pathway that leads to life? The truth of God will set you free. So if you want freedom, you need to align with the truth of God's word, not men's expectation, not current day circumstances. But you find a pathway that leads you to God's promise and outcome that He has for us. And so this thought of creating a financial freedom pathway, what I've discovered is that a lot of church teaching when it comes to money is give more. It comes from a place of need. It comes from a place of, hey, the church needs more money. Well, the truth is money is a key ingredient in natural living. If you don't have money, you can't fulfill your dreams. If you don't have money, you can't really bring help like is needed to many people around you. Money is spoken about a lot in the Bible. In fact, I think it's spoken more about than just about anything else. And in fact, it is more than anything else if every scripture related to money was looked at. And so this whole thought of saying, God, how do we break through? How do we create a pathway and get the thought? Again, if you're here for the first time today, and by the way, let me just let you know, if you weren't here last week, because of the brain damage that I have suffered, it wasn't that long ago when I couldn't read at all. And they weren't sure if I'd get any of my eyesight working so that I could read, but here I am today. I'm limited reading, so I've got the professor, Pastor Josh, with me. And he's going to help me and get me online if I get off course. Is that okay? And if I get off course, I always make the excuse, well, I'm partly brain damaged. But the facts are God is able to do the impossible, and we're Amen. Standing in faith believing for that. Amen. But the four parts that I've discovered to create a pathway to financial freedom, you don't just arrive on it. You've got to put into practice the truth of God's word.
Right.
And the four ingredients, which is in the God, Money, and Me book, is that God talks about stewarding, about seeding, about saving, and about spending. Now, a lot of people say, I like the spending one. I've got that down pat. Well, it's balanced with the other three. So four things working together creates a pathway. And our story, as I mentioned last week, was that Marie and I have always been serving God. I became a Christian at 5 years of age. Was the time where I tangibly know I gave my life to Jesus. Brought up in a Christian home. Taught to give, but never taught a pathway. Never really realized there's more to it than just giving, because that's basically all I heard in church. And I remember at 38 years of age, Marie and I had been married, I think it was, for 15 years. We had been extremely generous all the time, but we had not ever got to a place where we could find a deposit to buy a house. And I said to God, God, there must be something missing. And I think we have been taught by and large an imbalanced view when it comes to money. So I want to challenge and encourage you that if you commit to God's pathway, you'll get to the end of the road.
Amen.
And God will show you things. And so in the middle of that dilemma, being married 15 years, not having anything, because we were taught, well, look, Jesus is coming back. Just don't build up anything for the future. Just give and it will be given to you. Press down, shaken together. All of that is truth, but it's imbalanced if it's isolated. Come on, I need some response.
Amen.
And God is, I'm believing, going to set people free and set them on a pathway that they can shatter. So the verse that God used in my life, which became a revelation and the bedrock of God, Money, and Me book, was 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Come on, Pastor Josh, read that for us.
And God is able. Come on, everybody say, God is able.
God is able.
Come on, here in every campus, everybody say, and God is able.
God is able.
God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Somebody should be shouting and say hallelujah. You would have all sufficiency. The original word for that word sufficiency is not just to get by, but that you would have no need of any extra support. Well, I read that and I go, so why are we parking in lack? If it's not working, we're missing something. And I think we've been taught an imbalanced view. And I want to encourage you to go on a search, but God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Wherever you're at, whatever your life has been, God's got a grace in every area of your life.
Amen.
And so if you are struggling financially, God's got a grace to bring you into a place of breakthrough in that finance. In fact, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1
says this: arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
I want to encourage you that God's saying it's time for you to step up. Whatever God's called you to and whatever you're passionate in and gifted you with, God says, don't level of what you've seen, but step up. Begin to believe that God can take you to a higher level. Arise, shine. Stop looking down. Stop looking at the past. Stop allowing what the enemy is throwing at you to dominate, but begin to believe there is a better tomorrow. Come on, I'm a better preacher if you respond. There is a better way of moving forward, and it's not just hype. It's kind of like there are train tracks that are sent. And if God says, arise, shine, for your light has come, then the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. It's powerful.
It is.
But the enemy is opposing your financial breakthrough. You know why? Because finance is what is needed here on earth to see his kingdom come.
Right.
Think about that. You say, well, I don't need any more money. You need a breakthrough in money so you can help those in need.
Go on.
Show them that God cares. You need a breakthrough in money so that you can build what God has in his heart to build and to see the kingdom of God come. And the enemy opposes this whole teaching of that you can break through financially, because that will release you as a God carrier to bring his kingdom. Yeah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal. So if we're not liberated in this area, we're not going to break through. And I encourage you, it's not an overnight miracle. A lot of people say, would you pray that God would bless me financially? I'll pray for whatever you ask me to do, but I don't believe that much blessing comes because we just pray for financial breakthrough. You can hate me. I'm going home not too far away. I'll pray for you. But you've got to realize if I pray that God will release you into financial blessing, then God is going to ask you to make some shifts.
Amen.
Well, I'm praying that thousands of dollars will come to me. That God has never yet created money with a righteous serial number and put it in somebody's letterbox. Somebody had to make that. So let's get out of this wrong understanding of how we are to find financial freedom. We've got to create a pathway so that we can walk on that and walk towards it. And by the way, that's a challenging thought, but it's true. Financial freedom, I'm trying to say, is not an overnight decision.
Right.
It's not an overnight miracle. It can't happen. So I want to encourage you, let's pray less about it and do more about it. Now, there are certain things we need to pray that are sovereign, right, but then there are pathways we need to learn how to walk on them. And if you get that, you'll really find help in it. In fact, Proverbs 11 verse 4 says this.
I love this verse. A thick bankroll is no help when life falls apart, but a principled life can stand up to the worst.
Yeah, come on. Now we're getting it. Again, I'm talking to everybody online. Money is not your answer. I've met many people, millionaires and billionaires. But when life implodes, you can have all the money in the world and be empty. But a principled life will stand up in the worst. And the power of that changes. So you say, well, Paul, give us some of the understandings that are needed. So we're talking about creating a financial freedom pathway. And the challenge is this: don't live in life by pressure, but by principle.
So good.
A principled life can stand up to the worst. So what principles do you have in place when it comes to finance? And I want to focus particularly in week two on one of the four. We talked about all four of them in the first week, but this week I want to talk about stewarding, that we gain a revelation on what stewarding really means, that God calls us to be stewards of what belongs to Him. And I want to give you three thoughts that you can take home and just talk about, mull over. But the first thought is this, is that faithfully returning what belongs to God. When you hear somebody says, you ought to tithe, basically, they might not be explaining it, but they're basically saying, God entrusts something to us, which is not ours, but God's. And stewarding is about taking what God has given us and giving the first back to Him. Because it belongs to Him, it doesn't belong to me. It's not like I don't give a tithe, I return a tithe. Oh, well, I've given my tithes. No, you haven't. You've just returned what God asked for because it was His. God says, if you honor me with the first tenth, then you can decide over the 90. But if you're a smart operator, you'll have principled living over the rest of the 90.
Right.
So that you can build a life that's financially free. And it won't happen overnight. It may take a generation. We all want to now bless me, fix it all, God. God says you get salvation instantly, but you've got to build a pathway to freedom. And in that, we're going to find freedom. So tithing is not an overnight thing. It's not something that just happens to us instantly, but it's something that God does incredibly. So we're going to go to some very strong scriptures, and I want to challenge you. This was in the Old Testament law, but it is bigger than the Old Testament law. It actually is something that God Himself initiated. You might say, what do you mean by that? We'll get there. So let's go, Pastor Josh, to Malachi 3 and verse 6.
It says this, for I am the Lord, I do not change.
Hold it. God doesn't change because of your circumstances. Mm. I am the Lord, I do not change. My promises are yes and amen. But it's not working. It was for us. God, we've served you, we've given, but we're having no breakthrough. And it's like, God, there must be something missing because you don't change. So what am I blocking God in? Whatever area of my life, it's like, okay, you can't live past 3 months. You'll die within 3 months. There is no medical solution. It's right through your lungs, your liver, your adrenal glands. It's in your brain. Major big tumors. It's impossible. It would have to be a miracle. And so in the middle of that, it's like, well, God, your truth is there, so I'm going to trust you're going to take us on the pathway that you want us to have. And this whole thought of understanding that is so big and so important. And so as we read through, let's go to carry on with the verse.
For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, sorry, Paul, in what way shall we return?
Perfect. He didn't say you've gone away from my laws. He said you've gone away from my ordinances. If you read this, you'll discover that God is talking in a personal context. Return to me, not do what I say, not fulfill the laws of Moses. Return to me and I will return to you. In what way should we return? In tithes, which is what belongs to God. We'll establish that soon, but also in offerings. Most of that we don't understand, and so we get one part of the equation, but not the full equation. And God wants us to realize an ordinance is a command, not a law. It is a prescribed portion of our increase belongs to God. Let's go on with verse 8.
Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation.
Can we rob God? He didn't say you have robbed from me, but you have robbed me. You've robbed me, if I can explain it, from having access into your financial world. To protect you from the enemy's plan for your finances, but to bring you to a place where you've robbed no longer me from entering the most huge attack of the enemy in your financial world. You've robbed me from access because you haven't honored me with the tithe and with offerings. Three times you've robbed me, you've robbed me, you've robbed me. And if you take this home and study it, don't just ever accept the words of a preacher. Make sure it aligns to the word of God. Don't ever accept circumstances. Go back to the word of God and say, God, there must be a pathway through this. Three times we looked at that. So let's go on to verse 10.
Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts.
Wow. Can you imagine the church, Christendom, standing and being seen as a delightful land? It has an answer to need and poverty. It has an answer and a way to provide for when there's major disasters here in the world. It's the place where the sun shines. We can't work it out. They're just a blessed people. But God says it'll only happen if you return to me. Because if you return to me, I'll return to you and I'll begin to work. And that whole thought is returning to him is a huge breakthrough point. So faithfully return what belongs to God. I think the second thought in releasing God's authority into our financial world is this, is we are to, read that for me, understand, I've got it, tithing is a sovereignty decision. This is not getting money for a church.
Right.
This is about establishing lordship in your world.
Right.
Do you know that salvation is free? Well, it's not really. It costs Jesus everything. It's a free gift to us, but it cost him everything. And God doesn't make you do anything. Whenever you are demanded to tithe, that's not the way God operates. God gives you an invitation. And he says, you get to choose whether you walk the pathway or not. But if you walk my way, then you release me to rebuke the devourer. How many ever had money and say, boy, that goes so quickly? Well, there's a devourer wanting to make sure you don't financially succeed. Listen to this. So important. You can have money but not be succeeding. Because you talk to anyone that's got lots of money, if God is not in the picture, it hasn't been the answer to their freedom. And it hasn't given them peace. And it hasn't given them a purpose to work forward in their lives. Because sovereignty is about the what becoming the who. God wants you to realize that he wants to become sovereign in your financial world. In fact, your whole life, everything that you're a part of, he wants to be the one that brings a change in that. Verse 6.
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
You need to understand that.
Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Let me say it again. It's a personal transaction. Every time, where's that? You got some money on you, mate?
Yep. $5.
Is that a tip?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. God says, understand that tithing, which is bringing the first tenth of all of your increase. You bring it to me because it's mine, then you are someone that the moment you increase, soon as the money hits your hand, you are deciding whether God has authority over it or the enemy has lied and got his way to you. So God's principles will cost us humanly, but will release us into the supernatural picture. And we're living proof of that ourselves into that place. Adam and Eve, what did God say to them? Here's the garden. It's got everything you could ever imagine and enjoy. With it comes peace, with it comes presence. My presence is with you. But there is one tree you shouldn't eat of. It's the tree of life and death. But you get to choose. So when you ever feel forced, if preachers make it a forced deal, it's not the way God presents. There's a tree. You get to choose whether you eat. They looked at it and the devil said, it's better if you keep it, if you use it. That fruit will bless you. But how many know the moment they ate it, they realized they'd lost everything that God had. Wow. It's a sovereignty decision. Wow. Every time you increase, the devil will come along and say, don't do it. You need it. Wow. Your future needs it. Your children need it. Everybody around you need it. And God says, no, you need me. Return to me and I'll return to you. Come on. Who's sovereign? Who is the one that is standing true in your life? Money determines our resident authority. If you want to do some study, if you want to get some more, make sure you read the book. But this whole thought of your resident authority, you can have a belief in Jesus, but not have a resident authority in your financial world. And so therefore, all the money you get is not free money. It's not going to bring you what God's promised you. But every time you have an increase, make sure you honor God with that. Anybody getting out of this?
Amen.
Having money doesn't mean you have financial freedom. Again, this quickly, let's go on and read Luke chapter 6, 23. No, 13, sorry.
No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
The word mammon, basically, if I could give you my understanding from the original language, is unsurrendered money.
Wow.
You cannot serve God and serve unsurrendered money. You say, well, what's surrendered money? It's when we bring the first to God. If we don't bring the first to God, there is a spirit called mammon that grabs a hold. You might have the money, but you've also got the spirit that comes with it. And mammon is going to drive you, so you have to protect money. That's why some people with the most money are people that are the least generous. They might be generous according to other people that don't have the money, but they are not really generous. Oh, now I'm preaching. Now you'll be happy I'm not sticking around too long. Preach it like it is, white boy. Come on, somebody. It's kind of like not making light of it, but even John Calvin says these words.
Where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority. Wow.
If you're directed by riches, God doesn't have authority. But when you say, no, God, the first tenth of my increase, here it is. I'm choosing you to be sovereign over my financial world. So we should be blessed, but we don't want that blessing to become mammon. Because mammon gives the enemy the authority in our financial worlds. So when Jesus, what did I write in that statement there? Yellow.
Luke 16?
No, just that saying there.
When Jesus becomes Lord, we experience sustained freedom.
That's a bigger understanding than we'll ever get. But when you put God first, realize that your tithe puts him sovereign. You can look at the devil and say, not today.
Amen.
Okay, I've just lost my job, but devil, you don't have the final say. Not today. God is sovereign, and he is the one that is Lord of my life right now. Amen. When we went through the cancer, it was like, you're going to die. There's no hope. There's no medical answer. I won't die until the boss has the final say. Because I realize profoundly that my tithe is a sovereignty decision. God, you're sovereign over all of my life because I've responded in a tangible, practical way. So I want to encourage you with that. Is that good? Devil, not today. Faithfully return what belongs to God and then understand that tithing is a sovereignty decision. The third and final thought is this, is that if we're going to release God's authority into our financial worlds, we've got to remember that the first tenth of our increase belongs in God's house.
Mm. Yeah. Amen.
See, the first tenth, the tithe, I don't get a decision over. Because it's not my money, it's God's money. So a lot of people say, well, I give and I'm supporting this and I'm doing that and I love giving, but you're still in the driver's seat. God wants to take you outside of the driver's seat and even your own gifting ability. And God says, my plan, it's my money, is to go to the local church. Yeah, but I support missionaries. Great, good on you for doing it. But that's not where God said the tithe goes. Why is the church not being able to fulfill what God wants it to be, the light in the world? Because we don't have the resources, because we only tip God. We only do what's convenient for us. And we will direct our money. Mammon tells you, you are able to direct your money. God says, not the first tenth. Yes. Come on, it's getting quiet.
Good.
But this is God's principle. Don't argue from your position. Go to the Word and God and let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
So it's a sovereignty decision, but it's also God's right then to choose where it goes. He says it goes to the local church. Before I was 5, I was taught to tithe. I'm now, believe it or not, 65. 65, I cannot remember any increase where I have not given God the first tenth in his house.
Wow.
Then I have understood the second key ingredient of the four, which is seeding. I can seed wherever I feel to seed, but the sovereign plan of God is that it goes into God's house. And if you say, well, I wouldn't give it to my church because they wouldn't use it properly. Well, then why are you at that church?
Right. Right. That's good.
Boy, that just gave me some more brain damage. But seriously, stop making excuses.
Right.
If you don't believe you can trust the leadership, get to a place you can trust the leadership.
Good.
And build God's. Will your leaders get it all right? No.
Right.
But it's not your decision. They have a responsibility to their accountability group and before God at the end of the day. So I don't give on my agenda. That's not what tithing is about. It's on God's agenda. God says it belongs in my house. You imagine what Wave could do in the next 5 years if we all tithe. By the way, in most churches, even healthy churches like this, less than 20% fully tithe. You say, why? Because mammon is a spirit and it's got a hold of the hearts of people. People love to give, but they don't like to tithe. And what do I do when I get a big bonus or I get a big sale on the property and actually it's an increase of what I bought it for, and I've just sold it for double what I bought it for. That's your increase. First tenth comes into the local church, you get to do what you want to do with the other 90. If you're smart, you'll seed it, you'll save it, and you'll spend it correctly. And those four things will keep you in the right balance of what God wants you to do. Is something making sense here?
Good.
I got to look at my time. We're doing all right. So before I was five, I have never not tithed that I can know of.
Wow.
So when I was facing a $300,000 bill for medical treatment, I think this correlates. It's not in my notes, but somebody came up to me and said, Paul, because I thought publicly I'm never going to mention the need of finances at the start of the treatment. They said, look, we really feel we're able to do it, but we want to cover your financial bills for the treatment.
Wow.
I have a strong belief there's a direct correlation back to I honored God.
Yep.
And God says, I'll honor you.
Yep.
And I'll look after you. Now listen, don't take that as a negative, because if you fail, God wants to pick you up from where you're at.
Yep.
God says, if you honor me with all of your increase, not just what's comfortable, all of your increase, and the bigger the increase, the harder it is to do, because it's lots of money. But it's testing whether you have the spirit of mammon operating or the spirit of God. Our response to that.
It's good.
Speak. Come on. Our material world operates either from a surrendered or an unsurrendered position. And that's a huge challenge. Read that next quote to me. Unsurrendered.
Unsurrendered wealth is like seawater. The more we drink, the thirstier we become. Wow.
That's what mammon does to you. And you think you'd be happy when you got it all. But now you realize you're still not happy because you're not doing it God's way. I just need more. No, you don't need more. You need to do it God's way. And if you do it, you're going to find that freedom and breakthrough. Again, let's read Proverbs 3 and verse 9, and I'm going to get the team to come up and join me.
It says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine.
All your increase. Do you know that tithing is an honor position? I honor you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. I honor the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, then live God's way.
Yep.
Not just with some, not when it's convenient. I think I've used this before, possibly even last week, but I'll never forget a solo mum coming up and saying, but if I tithe, I can't even put food on the table with the kids. And I basically said to them many years ago, it was like, God understands. I'll never forget that ride home in the car where it's like, so you know better. And I said, it was just empathy. But you know what? God's pathway brings God's freedom.
Right.
And it's not you have to. You get to choose to do that. But we need to teach the word of God the way the word of God is written. And that's so that our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will overflow with new wine. So you say to me, well, Paul, I'm new at this. I don't know what to do. I say, well, make sure you get some healthy resource to help you go back to God's word. And people say, so how would you say it in a short sentence or two if I could have the keys playing? How would you say is the key to finding this pathway to financial freedom? I think without doubt, for me, stewarding comes into focus. Stewarding is the first 10% of all of our increase. So whenever we increase, the bigger the challenge, because the spirit of mammon is knocking on the door. Wants control over us. All of our increase, steward the first 10%. Then you pay your taxes. We don't get a choice about our taxes, but we get a choice about where we live.
Right.
So some people say, I don't like the taxes, so I'm not paying them. Well, no, you just change where you live. Find where you do like, and you'll realize it's much the same everywhere.
Yeah.
We got keys coming? Thanks, team. I just believe that God's way works. So we steward that first tenth, we pay our taxes, and then we seed. And I think our goal should be as Christians in the future to have 10%. If our first tenth is God's, then why don't we think God's got some wisdom? because your harvest will always reflect your seed. So I would say that's a great goal. I have 10% for seeding, 10%, I would say, and this is what hasn't been taught, should be saved, should go for future generations, should go into getting rid of your debt, then go into buying a house. Some of you say, yeah, but I want an overnight. No, it may take a generation or two. But how many know we can set up our children's children's children so they don't have to start from zero or a $100,000 loan for school fees because the generation before them. How many want to send this to their grandparents? So guys, you've got to hear this. You've got to help us out here. God works generationally. He doesn't just work in the instant. He works generationally. So therefore, we seed something. We save something. And then we spend what's left. Don't let your spending direct your principles. Put limitations on. All of us should teach our kids, have a stewarding account, have a seeding account, have a saving account, have a spending account. We're going to be able to give some money to our children and our grandchildren. All of our grandchildren, every time we get an increase, have something that goes into their account. But we say to them, this is coming to you, but it's to go towards a house in the future. The only thing Papa asks, Mimi asks, is this money will have to go generationally. You're not there to put it into something that's going to die. It's going to be something because God wants to build the kingdom line upon line, freedom upon freedom. And I want to pray because in a moment we're going to stand and sing together. And I think this is more of a hard deal because this is a battle between the enemy, Satan, and God's way of living. And you can make all the excuses, but you're either living under the spirit of mammon or you're living under the spirit of God. And I'm going to ask Josh to read Proverbs chapter 8. But read it slowly, and I want you to take it on board. Verse 17.
Come on, church, catch this. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries.
Don't ever tell me God's plan for our life is to be poor. Specifically, God may call you to a life of lack for His purpose. But God says, I want you to live with treasuries that are full. But we've got to begin to think generationally and commit to the way, creating a pathway of financial freedom.